happened to hobbies? Like, why are all of us getting so boring?
Guys, I just turned 26 and I feel like I have literally no hobbies right now.
I'm slightly embarrassed to admit this. I'm 28 years old and I don't have a hobby.
How are we affording any hobbies at all? Any hobbies at all?
Collections used to be a labor of love. It was an act of slow consumption. Now they signify wealth and status.
But my phone addiction is like the biggest problem I have.
Hey, what do you like to do besides be on your phone? What are your hobbies? What do you like to do in your free time? Do you like to read? Do you like to write? Have you done any arts and crafts lately? Have you picked up a new hobby? Maybe you want to learn to play an instrument. Maybe you want to read a really big book that's like this big that you didn't think you could finish.
There is such a fear around being cringe or being seen as cringe that it is crippling an entire generation.
Yeah, guys, we get it. Everything's cringe. Everything's ironic. You don't actually enjoy anything because that would be embarrassing.
So weird that VIP thinks they're so way too cool to do this.
Have you noticed that it feels like people don't do anything anymore? Outside of work, school, and chores, it feels like genuine fun has become a thing of the past. Gen Z is already known for drinking less, going out less, and socializing less, but they also may be the first generation to be hobbying less too. Because if we're being honest, most people's free time now goes to one of two things, streaming or scrolling. And when those become our default interests, we end up with a generation of copy and paste personalities, monotonous, unoriginal, and unsure of what actually makes them them. But between hobby inflation, the age of instant gratification, and overconsumerism running rampant, hobbies just don't really fit into the modern era of pastimes. And sure, it's easy to blame our phones, but the truth runs deeper. Somewhere along the way, we've built a generation of fewer young people taking up meaningful, skill-building pastimes, and many are too afraid to even try. And as a cherry on top, the culture we now live in is one that actively discourages passion, experimentation, and vulnerability. And so hobbies just aren't even a possibility. So today we're going to peel back the layers of the hobby industrial complex, where hobbies went, and how Gen Z's fear of being cringe is making them boring. So as I started my research into this topic, I tried to look up stats on how hobbies have decreased, because that's what it feels like anyway, between what I hear online and hear from people in person.
So what do you like to do for fun?
Oh, you know, just...
But the only thing I could actually find was that COVID caused a burst in the hobby industry, which we're well aware of. What else were we supposed to do with our time besides making sourdough, play Animal Crossing, and tie-dye any old t-shirts in our closet? Whatever it took to keep the isolation horror thoughts away. So the following thought I came to was that maybe hobbies haven't decreased, but they've evolved since 2020. And with that, the amount of quality hobbies has decreased. Again, there's no current statistics on this, so it's just speculation. But it feels like in general, a lot of people just don't have interests anymore. Rather, they just do things to pass the time but don't actually like get you anywhere. For example, if you ask anyone under the age of maybe 35, I guess it depends on the group, but most of them, if they're being honest, would say that they spend a huge chunk of their day on their phone for entertainment.
I feel like cool hobbies have died now. If you ask someone what they do in their free time, it's like, yeah, I watch Instagram reels.
And we do have statistics on this. Worldwide, the average person spends a total of 6 hours and 38 minutes looking at a screen each day. This includes 2 hours and 21 minutes of scrolling through social media channels, 1 hour and 25 minutes of streaming music, and 52 minutes of listening to podcasts. And I'm not here to judge, I am just as guilty of this. No, I don't look at my screen time because I'm too scared to. Also, my livelihood literally depends on people looking at screens, which is a bit dystopian, so I don't like to marinate on that thought too long. But between children and adults, it would only make sense for hobbies to be on the decline as new modern activities take their place.
Do you know how embarrassing it is to try and explain to the person that you like that you don't have hobbies? So now I'm an adult who my hobby is Real Housewives.
I want to share this Gen Z-er's personal experience, as she says. When I was younger, in the almost unfathomable time before screens were ubiquitous, I remember doing things like reading paper books, crocheting blankets, playing card games, and stargazing on picnic blankets with my mom. Every weekend, I would go ice skating with my elementary school buddies, and how I would sit at the dining table after dinner with my highlighter ready in hand, working on word search puzzles and crosswords. When people ask me about my hobbies, I had too many to choose from. Now, I can hardly remember remember the last time I pulled on a pair of ice skates or touched a physical highlighter as opposed to a virtual one on my iPad. A part of it comes from growing up and getting busier. However, when I do have a spare moment, the first thing I do is grab my phone and scroll through Instagram, which then leads to watching random YouTube videos on my laptop, which then transitions to binge watching episode after episode of TV shows until the crack of dawn. And I think this is a sentiment that a lot of us can relate to. I remember when I was fresh out of college making my resume, I had a laundry list of hobbies that I tacked onto the last page. I had rock climbing, beekeeping, oil painting, hiking, just to name a few. And then I had the most horrible moment a few years ago when someone asked me what my hobbies were, and I struggled to name any. Because some of that is just growing up and growing busy, like I was knee deep in the diaper phase of parenthood and also moved into a house that we were fully renovating. And we were also all recovering from COVID ruining our social hobbies. But that was definitely a reality check that I needed to get back on the hobby train, because it feels like you lose a big part of yourself when you don't have any interests.
Where are my moms that have no hobbies? Yesterday, I was trying to think of things that I actually enjoy doing or I'm good at, and I couldn't think of anything outside being a mom. I enjoy solo car rides, long showers, my husband taking the kids for an hour so I can actually get some cleaning done. Motherhood consumes us, and it's not a bad thing, but sometimes it can feel like that's all we know how to do or that's all that we're good at. So what are we doing?
But it wasn't just COVID and growing up that stunted my hobbies. Over the past 5 years, it's felt that the whole scope of the hobby industry has changed and has many limiting factors that hold us back from pursuing them. One of the themes that I always end up circling back to my videos, if you've seen a bunch of my videos, is the importance of relationships, because in today's day and age, it's just so hard to make time to pour into the people that are actually important to us. But that's where today's sponsor comes in, the Paired app. The Paired app is a relationship app designed to help couples stay in love. It offers daily conversation starters and expert-backed advice to strengthen communication and deepen emotional connection, making the journey of staying in love more enjoyable and meaningful. There are daily questions, quizzes, and games that you complete together, with the goal being to improve the happiness of couples and relationships. They have a bunch of topics to focus on, anything from communication, connection, finances, and meaning and growth. Within the topics, there are really fun exercises to complete with your partner so you can learn more about them and learn more about yourself as well. Josh and I have really been enjoying the Paired app because it gives us the opportunity to talk through subjects that just don't normally come up. It's also really cool to be in a relationship for 10 years and still learn new things about each other with their expertly designed questions and activities. The best part about these activities, though, is that you can't unlock your partner's answers until you've submitted your own. And so it gives you the opportunity to authentically answer them and then compare your responses at the end. To give you some examples of the prompts it's given us, we've had naming one thing that you've lost and gained since becoming a parent, what personal qualities we see reflected in our children, and what you need from each other when you're tired. And on multiple occasions, these activities and questions have actually turned into real life conversations where we go deeper in the topics because it's just something we never really thought to talk about. So if you would like to maintain a deeper connection with your partner, you can click the link in the description and that will give you a 7-day free trial and 25% off Paired Premium. So the first limiting factor we have in the hobby industry is hobby inflation, because along with everything else in our lives, the price of our activities has blown up since COVID.
There's no way in hell this is $5 million.
Well, fuck me in the ass, this is $5 million.
About 6 in 10 Americans took on a new hobby over the past year as the COVID-19 pandemic raged on. Unfortunately, more than half of those who did wound up taking on credit card debt as a result. And that's the kicker, isn't it? For many of us, we now have to choose between giving up our hobbies or going deep into debt for them.
Ask what your hobbies are, and I'm like, hobbies? In this economy, I have two hobbies. Sometimes I watch TikTok sitting up, and sometimes I watch it laying down. They're both good. I like them both.
Want to go to a sports game? Sorry, the tickets are minimum $300. Want to take up knitting? Sorry, the cost of yarn alone is more than buying the actual finished product. Want to take up photography? You're looking at a minimum of $500 for a low-end camera, plus the subscription service to editing software. But what about baking? That surely can't be expensive. Well, it's not in comparison to other hobbies, but you're still looking at like a 100% increase in the cost of ingredients since 2020. And the worst offender of all in the conversation of hobbies is how expensive playing sports has gotten. Mind you, there are still some affordable sports out there I feel like I need to mention. Like Josh and I, when we used to have spare time, we used to go to drop-in badminton for like $5. Super fun, low cost. But for kids going into sports, the prices have just skyrocketed. We have the cost of hockey going up from on average $4,400 per child to $7,300 for 13 to 16 year olds in Canada. Golf has gone up with an average tee time cost at $49, up from $38 in 2019. Baseball's annual cost has gone up from $600 a year to $1,000 a year. Overall, the average US sports family spends $1,016 on their child's primary sport in 2024, a 46% increase since 2019.
I didn't realize how expensive children activities were. I signed my son up for gymnastics.
It was $200.
But now I'm like, I feel like I have to really pick and choose here.
It's just beyond reasonable for 90% of people who are already dealing with inflation on our necessities in life, let alone our extracurriculars. And you might be thinking, well, pick a cheaper hobby then. And yeah, that's what a lot of people have had to do, but it still is tragic when you grow up playing a hobby so much that it starts to build into your personality, and then it just gets taken away from you because of inflation. It's not cool. This journalist shares their experience, saying, "The first time I shot a clay pigeon, it disappeared. I was 12 years old at a local gun club where my mother had driven me so I could try my hand at sports clays. That day was the start of an obsession, and for the next 5 years, I spent nearly every weekend shooting sporting clays at that gun club. I soon found myself immersed in the sport, drawn in as much by the people as by the activity itself. From roughly 2005 to 2010, I burned through a case of shotgun ammo every week. Target loads then cost about $5 per box of 25 and could be had for less than $40 a case on sale, which meant that by shooting fees tacked on, the hobby cost me something like $60 a week or $240 a month, an amount that I could afford by working weekends with occasional parental subsidies. In the past decade and a half, though, the cost of sporting clays have more than doubled in many places, far outpacing regular inflation. I think we can forget how tied we are to our hobbies, as they are such a pivotal part of our upbringing for a lot of us anyways, and how tragic it is to be priced out of them. Point being, it's just really crummy to be one of the unlucky ones to have picked a hobby or sport in your childhood that turned out to become one of the out-of-reach expensive hobbies in adulthood. Because as we know, it's so hard to pick up new hobbies as adults because we're just already so limited on time. How are you supposed to also have the time to learn something new? Like, you can, but it's hard. I went through a similar struggle post-COVID when I wanted to get back into indoor bouldering, but at $20 a day, it was just a little bit tricky to justify it, at least when you're trying to be financially responsible in a horrible economy. But I did do it anyways because I figured the benefits of exercise would be worth it, as well as the benefits on my mental health being freshly postpartum and drowning a little bit, to say the least. I also want to touch on video games, as it's been a really hot topic recently. This month, the new Nintendo Switch 2 is being released, and it has gotten so much backlash since the announcement. For one, the price of the device itself launched at $449, a significant jump from the original price tag of $299. And on top of that, the games themselves have increased in price, with Mario Kart at $79 for digital versions and $89 for physical copies. For my Canadians, that is $122. I've been saying to Josh for years now that I want to get a Switch so we can play family games like Mario Party. I feel like that would just be super cute. But I'm not sure if the cuteness is worth it anymore at that price tag. And during this time of the Nintendo controversy, the conversation was brought over to the Borderlands franchise, as one fan wrote a tweet about Borderlands 4 to the Gearbox CEO Pitchford, saying, "Randy, this game better not be $80. And Pitchford responded with, "If you're a real fan, you'll find a way to make it happen." Not super cool, and was met with many angry responses. The whole thing felt like the equivalent of a boomer saying, "You can't buy a house, then just work harder and don't buy your avocado toast." But all that being said, across the board, many of us have been priced out of our hobbies, and it's become a sink or swim situation. Either you pay up or find something else to do. One One of the biggest hindrances of the hobby world, though, is that we don't want to work hard for our hobbies anymore.
Nobody wants to work these days.
We now live in a world of instant gratification, and so people, especially younger generations, are less likely to push through the tough stages of learning new hobbies to get to the good parts. We now live with instant coffee, instant answers, instant media, instant delivery, instant knowledge, and instant validation. In the year of 2025, our brains are just so wired to crave immediate validation that we convince ourselves to give up and move on to something easier if things get too hard.
Absolute waste of time. So boring. Jesus.
And why even try when you can just consume instead? We all know that this mentality is problematic, but that also doesn't stop us from doing it even subconsciously, because the brain just doesn't want to work hard. We're made to find the easiest path to make things efficient and conserve energy at all costs. The gratification that comes from our work is confirmation that the work you're doing is worth it, but when so much in life offers instant rewards, putting in slow, steady work for a hobby just doesn't feel essential in the first place and can seem pointless. We are addicted to the idea of instant gratification over delayed gratification. If we don't learn or solve something instantly like we can through computers or our phones, we give up and move on, when in reality, we should have the patience to take advantage of these new learning experiences because the benefits are even better. But what happens when we get the gumption to actually try something new and then we're not good at it? Well, we usually stop. But the problem, of course, is if we stop, then we'll never actually get good at the thing. It feels like we live in a plateau culture where we're really good at getting to the midpoint of a skill and then give up when progress slows down. We all know the feeling of how exciting it is to start a new hobby. We go to the store, we buy all the supplies and the gear, we make a schedule even, we give it our all, and then a few weeks later, we've completely lost interest.
I've decided that shopping for craft supplies is more my hobby than the actual crafts that I like doing.
This is again because our brains love starting new things and getting that first burst of improvement. But the brain hates the plateau and it will start sending signals to stop because you're not good. And so this must not be for you. You pick up a guitar, you suck at it, your fingers hurt, the chords sound wrong. Someone, your brain, your friend, your teacher, tells you to stop. You're not good at this, but if you stop, you'll never be good. And this is something that people have struggled with since the dawn of time, but it's really in our dopamine-filled world where it's just that much harder to actually push through with a hobby when we can get a quick dopamine hit by pulling out our phones at any moment. Hobbies that once required patience and a willingness to be bad at something before getting good have been sideswiped by today's instant gratification of social media and streaming services. For a lot of people, you're not going to spend hours learning how to crochet when you can just watch endless videos of highly talented crocheters online and get a portion of their completion dopamine without actually having to do anything yourself. We've created a culture that celebrates either immediate success or the finished product. We don't show the messy middle. Social media doesn't have filters for year three of learning something hard. I didn't think of this before, but doesn't that sound exactly like what AI does for us? Like it takes away the middle ground of learning and just gives you the end product? It's like it's all intertwined. So let's dive a little deeper into how technology has changed our perceptions of hobbies. Because as phones have made content consumption more accessible, we spend more time consuming rather than creating.
Phone addiction and social media addiction and living life through this tiny screen has become more prevalent than ever before. I'm speaking for myself. I have a pretty laid back job, and so I do find myself on social media a lot throughout the day. It is affecting me personally way more than I even realize. And so many of us are probably in the same boat. I feel like I don't have hobbies the way I used to. I don't get out the way I used to. Like, I am tired of living life through this screen.
We also see the digital age even shifting our definition of hobbies with the rise of gaming, social media engagement, and content creation, replacing traditional hobbies like knitting, cooking, and sports. If you remember from my video on Gen Alpha's lack of resilience, children will opt for playing video game sports over playing the real life sport. To circle back to the statistics of hobbies, new research from the National Lottery reveals that 1 out of 4 people consider scrolling through social media a genuine hobby, and a third recognize the amount of time spent on social media is stopping them from pursuing other interests. And the thing with online hobbies, I will exclude video games because I feel like they can be beneficial with the right boundaries, but besides that, they kind of numb us because they don't give you the same excitement and sense of fulfillment that, say, hitting your first V4 climb will give you, speaking from experience. But at the same time, they also won't make you feel crappy for failing a free throw shot for the third time.
Scrolling is an output of the nervous system. It's a dissociative behavior. Your brain and nervous system know that when there is too much stress in your bucket, in your capacity, you need to output. You need to do something that will bring the stress level back down. And for a lot of people, we dissociate. We just like, it gets to be too much and we're just like, bye, and we tune out.
These things provoke neither joy nor anger, but a state of mind that's best described as pure, unadulterated ambivalence. It is just something to do until my brain switches on enough to coordinate taking a shower, a procrastination tool I can pass off as crucial to ensure I'm up to speed with whatever has most recently entered the zeitgeist of internet things. I feel like that was written about me. But we all know the horrible feeling of scrolling for hours, or at least maybe most of us do. And we know that spending time on our hobby makes us feel better in the long run, but we keep going back to our screens. Because with free entertainment literally being a tap away, you really need a lot of discipline to actually pursue your hobbies. Because again, with our caveman brains, they want as easy a source of dopamine as possible. This means for people who really want to pursue their hobbies, they have to do things like putting their phone in the other room so they're not tempted to look at it, or buying that brick device that literally locks your phone because it's too enticing. It's such a weird place to be when you want to be doing these things, but our phones are just whispering at us the whole time, trying to draw us in. And the crazy thing is that it's not just for hobbies that you're new to and are starting out and struggling with, but it's the ones that you're already good at too. Even without the barrier of beginner frustration, tech companies have mastered the art of hijacking our attention no matter what we're doing. I found a Reddit thread on this conundrum, and this person says, I am 25 years old. I used to love writing, playing video games that are rich with story, the ones that feel like books. I used to love to jog, interact with my family, getting excited over small things like getting a new game, a new book, or watching movies. Now I can't do any of these because my mind is so occupied with other things in the internet world. I just use my phone while doing any of my hobbies and waste time there. I hate it. And this brings up the conversation of attention spans, because as I mentioned in my last video, the constant notifications, the information overload, and the quick dopamine all make for a concoction of no mental space. A study done here shows, upon analyzing the data collected from the survey administered to Reedy High School AP seminar students, a significant correlation emerges between increased social media usage and decreased attention span. The findings reveal that individuals who report spending more time on social media platforms tend to exhibit lower levels of sustained attention and increased susceptibility to distractions. But the conversation on whether attention spans have decreased is still a debatable one. It's not as easy as saying that we like short-form content, therefore we can't pay attention. It's more a combination of the way social media apps are built and the creators attention-maxing their content, because with years of trial and error under our belt, we found how to optimize keeping one's eyes on a screen. It's actually pretty crazy. It can be a video about something that you really don't care about, but they use the right tactics to keep you looking. That, plus again, our brains know exactly how to get the hit of oxytocin whenever it wants, means that it's less that we don't know how to pay attention and more that we just keep being manipulated to keep scrolling. And when our phones offer the same sense of completion and satisfaction that hobbies once did, it's no wonder that those hobbies start to feel like outdated, time-consuming relics in a world built for instant rewards. So let's quickly talk about something else that's been replacing our hobbies. Because we are doing more than just scrolling to feel good, we're also consuming. We love buying stuff. Any purchase, no matter what it is, brings us this excitement of the new and fresh. Recession or not, many will even go into debt to feed our consumerism itch. In haul culture, many use shopping as their content and identity between Shein hauls, Amazon hauls, and spend the day with me shopping vlogs. This effect is even amplified by the age of online shopping, where we don't just get a dopamine hit from clicking place order, we also get the buildup of excitement while we wait patiently by the door. It's actually a crazy phenomenon where literally anything can be coming in the mail, but when the package gets to your front porch, you get filled with excitement to open it. I've even gotten it when I've ordered things like packing tape from Amazon. Just the thought of the package coming sparks something in your brain. And this consumeristic drive has bled into our hobbies as well, as we've seen a rise in collection hobbies. Now, having collections is by no means a new thing, but it does seem to have exploded in the past few years, from collecting Starbucks cups and Yeti water bottles. Yes, people are treating their water bottles like Pokemon cards and trying to collect them all. Then there's Squishmallows and jelly cats, and as of recent, the Labubus, which I had never heard of. That word has never actually left my mouth before, but apparently it's all the craze with Gen Z. If you also haven't heard of them, they are a collectible plush toy character that's sold in blind boxes where buyers are unaware of which specific design they will receive. And this adds an element of surprise and excitement, also known as gambling, as people will drop hundreds of dollars on these boxes trying to make a complete set.
Can someone please tell me what the F is going on? These things that people are collecting look like they're plotting my murder right now. Why are these adults collecting them? I don't understand. Like, what are they, good for something?
They recently blew up from celebrities showing them off and creating hype around it, and now they are the hottest sought-after fashion accessory and status symbol. Now, I don't want to go bashing people for having collections, because I think there's a way to do it where it is a hobby. Maybe I shouldn't put quotations on that. It is a hobby. But there is a thin line between collectionism and consumerism. While there's no harm in being a collector, I think the problem lies where people are just buying collections because it's the new trend, rather than it actually being something that you have a passion for. But that's where trends like the Labubus fall, in it being a quick fad. But the other trend we're seeing in the world of hobbies is the rise of what I'm calling the zero effort hobby. These are hobbies that have a low, if any, barrier to entry. Think of how popular coloring books and paint by numbers and diamond art have become. Now, are these hobbies bad? Absolutely not. Are they worse than scrolling your phone? Also, absolutely not. The problem with this and collection hobbies is that they miss the mark on what hobbies are for in the first place. When you're doing something that requires no skill set or need to get better, then it doesn't build into you as a person and into your personality and identity. While there definitely are worse things you could be doing, you're completely missing out if you're only doing zero effort hobbies. Hobbies don't just offer a way to pass the time, they differentiate us from others by building into our character and serve as stress relievers, creative outlets, and sources of joy outside of work and responsibilities. Hobbies are great for leisure enjoyment, of course, but they also bring us a lot of fulfillment throughout our life by becoming a meaningful part of who we are. Hobbies are ways that we can honor rest and restorative leisure time. When we spend non-work time doing activities purely for ourselves, we live life more fully. Enjoying creative or physically engaging pastimes can enrich your social life, strengthen your confidence, and help you decenter your 9-to-5. Hobbies in general just provide real joy and satisfaction from trying something hard, sucking at it, and then getting better and seeing actual improvement. They shape our personality in ways that add another layer of interest and uniqueness to us. And I just have a hard time seeing coloring books giving that to us, in the context I'm referring to anyway. I need to add here that there definitely are still very skilled people who do zero effort hobbies and at a very high effort level. It's just that the activity itself is not limited to the skillful. Like if you gave someone a set of knitting needles and some yarn and told them to make a scarf, they would be at a standstill. But on the other hand, if you gave someone a paint pen and a coloring book, they could figure it out with relative success. And that's a situation where I think you're really missing out on building a skill that will improve your life long term.
Okay, but the biggest problem I'm seeing, especially with the younger generations, is the paralyzing fear of failure, or specifically of being seen failing. We live in an era where everything we share online is permanent and shareable, which has created a hyper-awareness of how we're perceived. As a result, cringe culture has exploded as a sort of overcorrection to this.
There is such a fear around being cringe or being seen as cringe that it is crippling an entire generation. I don't know if it was social media and these damn phones, but it's almost like everybody is hyper aware of being seen or to be seen in some variety.
As Tim Wu, professor at Columbia University, said here, there's a deeper reason I've come to think that so many people don't have hobbies. We're afraid of being bad at them. Or rather, we are intimidated by the expectation, itself as a hallmark on our intensely public performative age, that we must actually be skilled at what we do in our free time. Our hobbies, if that's even a word for them anymore, have become too serious, too demanding, too much an occasion to become anxious about whether you are really the person you claim to be. Between the social media we consume only being highlight reels, the exposing of people's flaws online, and people worrying that they themselves will be called out for their miscomings, many feel it's best to not try at all. Because if you dare post a TikTok about something you're actually passionate about, it can be selected at random by someone who doesn't enjoy your passion. And just like that, you're made into a public spectacle, and the comment section rips you apart. As the trend goes, the more vulnerable a person seems, the worse the criticism. And I'm not just making this up. We see it in Gen Z culture of bashing anyone who cares too much about anything and falls short. Just recently, we saw this with the "We'll Be Married in a Year in the Suburbs" guy. I'm not sure if I can play that song on here, so I'm not going to, but I'll link it, I guess. If you've missed out on the trend, there's this musician who sang his little song for a small crowd and, in his passion, went on his toes during the song. Literally not a big deal, a little silly, mostly because he wasn't wearing shoes. But people have been ripping him apart online, with multiple parodies being made since. Which, I don't know how that became normal practice, because it's literally just bullying, and collectively everyone agrees that's okay. It's so normal now that no one thinks that this is harmful or hurtful.
This sucks. Maybe get a desk job?
And it's not like people are making parodies of someone doing something bad or wrong. It's just a guy singing a song. Like, what are they laughing at him for? For being passionate about what he does? I mean, the song is not my taste for sure, but that doesn't mean it's bad. That doesn't mean we make fun of him. Like, at least he was brave enough to do something he loves and post it online. What a criminal, you know? I just don't get it. And scenarios like this just reinforce this mentality that being passionate, putting yourself out there, or trying at anything is now considered cringe, because the vibes today are to be nonchalant and effortless.
The problem with a lot of Gen Z is that y'all are just boring. Mean and boring, like, and it's really crazy because it also comes with this like underlying desperate need to be cool, but y'all are so busy being judgmental that you don't have what it takes to actually be like cool people, you know? Like, you're so busy like thinking that everything is weird and cringe and oh my god, that like you can only be cool by like replicating something that has already been deemed acceptable, which results in just people looking and acting and sounding the exact same way.
Genuine emotion has been replaced by sarcasm, and sincerity is a liability. There's no room for effort when we shame people for being excited about things. Gen Z is known for their carefree mindset, but it's gone so far that nothing is serious anymore. Everything's ironic. Many of them avoid expressing genuine emotions to shield themselves from vulnerability. But this protective mechanism, while safeguarding against potential embarrassment, holds them back from trying new things and growing as people.
Everybody, all of Gen Z have these aspirations and they're like, oh, I really want to be this or I really want to do this. But God forbid they actually see somebody putting the effort to do it. And it could be literally anything. It could be a job. It could be social media. It could be a sport. It could be a fashion, designing stuff, anything. Like, the minute that Gen Z sees another person in Gen Z do something and they're still in like the starting phases, starting blocks of whatever they're trying to do, and maybe they're not getting enough traction. Maybe their designs aren't working. Maybe something is kind of like hindering them and they're still trying to grow and, you know, work their way up. It's seen as cringe.
And now cringe culture is a way of reintroducing shame, guilt, and fear culture, all under the guise of poking fun. It's a way of making people feel guilty and embarrassed and too scared to try anything. It really feels like everyone has this crippling fear of being cringe, and so if you don't try at anything, then you can't be labeled as cringy. And the application to hobbies is just as it sounds. If you're not really good at something right away, then you shouldn't be doing it at all. Because if you try, then you'll be the next laughingstock of the town, and that's not worth it. So instead, they'll just continue laughing at the next guy who opens up and never progress in their life to anything substantial. Okay, final thoughts. I'm a little pissed about that. Like, when did bullying come back? And it's also just so sad. Like, just do things. Like, if millennials did one thing right, it was the fact that they didn't care. They were like, or at least a lot of them were unabashedly themselves. And that's why Gen Z thinks that they're cringe. So first thing, let's stop making fun of other people, as if that would ever stop happening online. But also, I want the takeaway from this video to be that hobbies are really important. Like, they're so good for your character growth and for your long-term happiness and life satisfaction. It can be really easy in today's economy to brush them off as an extra thing that you shouldn't be spending money on, and, you know, still be responsible, but make time for a hobby that is beneficial. I also didn't even get to touch on the fact that hobbies are often the largest source of community for people, which is especially important in today's loneliness epidemic. But yeah, I think some people just need a reality check that you should be pursuing things that are hard, and that's okay. Now is your reminder to subscribe if you want more video essays on community, parenthood, and culture. Also, thank you to everyone who has bought merch recently. That is all I have for today's video. I wish you a chance to embarrass yourself doing something hard this week. Bye!